the first strategy. It's still popular today, but its range is limited and it is hit or miss. Then human technology came into play with the control of fire and the idea of burning them out. Better range, but depending on where the village stood and which way the wind blew, there was still a real hit or miss issue. And eventually modern science emerged, giving us ways to make things like pesticides and our own ability to fly, to spray those things on our little winged tormentors. But the chemical weapons advantage in particular proved temporary. Zoologist Peter Piermarini of the Ohio Agricultural Research and Development Center at Worcester.
Through the use of the same types of active ingredients, we were selecting for mosquitoes that we now can't kill with the traditional insecticide.
Andy says the issue also has to do with both the nature of the chemicals used and the complexity of nature's selection process.
Nearly all of our insecticides target the nervous system, but the problem is that it wipes out all the life stages and you start selecting for mosquitoes that are resistant to these compounds.
Piermarini says the new strategy is to focus only on females that have gorged themselves on blood in preparation for laying eggs.
To overcome this enormous physiological challenge, they start urinating while they're on the host. We refer to it as adding insult to injury because not only is she sucking our blood and potentially introducing pathogens, she's urinating on us at the same time. But it's critical for her because the sooner they can get rid of this extra payload, the more efficient they're going to be able to fly away.
The goal is to disrupt kidney function in the mosquitoes so that they remain bloated and therefore sluggish and clumsy and easy prey. Only one part of one life stage is affected, and the chemicals involved do nothing lethal themselves. They just set up the mosquitoes to be taken by natural predators. There are other alternatives to pesticide strategies in play too, genetic modification of mosquito behavior, for example, like interfering with male mating patterns. Other ideas focus on predators. Robin Symes, who owns the Wildlife Garden Store in North Canton, knows bats. He even advises on how to develop bat houses.
Their diet is mostly mosquito. Ohio has on the order of 14 bat species, and all of them are flying insect eaters. And in the night sky, mosquitoes are, you know, one of the predominant flying insects. I've seen research that shows that in a lab, they've measured them eating over 600 an hour. So they gobble them up.
And there is an alternative control strategy that dates back more than 100 years to the very researchers who launched the insecticide approach. Walter Reed of the hospital fame and Carlos Finley did that after observing how mosquitoes were spreading yellow fever, then ravaging the Gulf Coast and Caribbean. But at the same time, they called for eliminating breeding areas to control mosquito population growth from the start. Today, as the need to reduce the risk of mosquito-borne pathogens remains with us, so does the knowledge of the role of habitat management in doing that. In Canton, an aging park is being converted to a wetland as part of the Hall of Fame Village project. But ecologist Benjamin Shuplin, who is consulting on that project, says reducing the mosquito population is an important effect of the work, too.
Wetlands don't breed as much mosquitoes because you end up with a large, diverse population with a lot of insect predators that can prevent a natural booms of mosquito populations. They eat them.
So, even as mosquito resistance and public concern about environmental impacts and other issues blunt the power of insecticides, alternative approaches to controlling mosquitoes are emerging. But whatever direct or indirect new strategies are devised, it does not appear that the mosquito wars will be over anytime soon. I'm Tim Rudell, 89.7 WKSU.